On today's program, we look at some of the thoughts of St. John Paul II on the Blessed Mother. Stay where you are. It starts now. Welcome to the program. Come on in and make yourself at home. My name is Gary Zimek. I'm going to be hanging around for the next 30 minutes. I hope you can keep me company on today's program. Since today is the feast of St. John Paul II, we're going to look at some of his thoughts on the Blessed Mother. In addition, we'll read from today's Daily Mass readings. We'll talk about the Daily Mass readings. We'll read them. And it's going to be a good show, so I really hope you could stick around for the entire time. Thank you for joining me once again on the program. It's a beautiful day here. Man, the weather has been really nice lately over the past couple days. Heard a report that it's going to be a bad winter, but I also heard it's going to be a mild winter, so who knows what to expect. Whatever the Lord has in store is fine with me. As long as he keeps me here, I just want to be here. I'm happy to wake up every day. You know, it's funny. I have to be totally honest with you. I'm not someone who tends to be especially grateful. I'm someone who likes to complain by nature. I mean, that's really, if I look back over most of my life, I've had this tendency to complain. I like things my way, and when they don't go my way, I like to complain. That's the way I have, I've tended to spend most of my years. I don't want to say that's the way God made me, because it's not the way he made me. It's the way that I've really developed. But since I've started focusing on really trying to have an attitude of gratitude, to be grateful, and try to count my blessings every day. And honestly, that requires work. That's a conscious effort that we have to make if we're going to do that. Since I've started to do that, I've been less annoyed by things that previously would have really driven me crazy. One of them is the weather. I've never been a cold weather person. I struggle when it's cold, but I don't find myself dreading winter as much now. And I'm really thankful about that, because I really used to dread it. I'm grateful that I'm healthy, that I'm alive, and that I'm able to serve the Lord each day. And believe me, let me tell you honestly, this is not coming from me. I didn't do this. The Lord is working through me. And I know the Blessed Mother has a great deal to do with this as well. Again, I'm not somebody who has a tendency to be an up with people type of person. That's never been my personality. But I've just become a lot more grateful. And I thank our Blessed Mother for helping me. I thank our Lord for really putting up with me and for giving me the grace to be able to really be peaceful. And I've always had a big problem with anxiety. So for me to be peaceful, it really feels good. I'm grateful for it, and I want to continue to share my message with as many people as I can. So please keep me in your prayers that I'll be able to really touch some souls of people who are suffering, but who don't need to suffer. That's the sad thing. Through a relationship with Christ, none of us have to suffer. We might go through suffering, but we don't have to be unpleasant, I should say. We may have to suffer, but not suffer without reason, and not suffer without experiencing peace. And yes, it is possible to experience peace while at the same time suffering. So please keep me in your prayers, and I really appreciate that, because I think that many people need to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. That's why I'm so glad you're here and that we could spend this time, these 30 minutes on the program together. Quick reminder that we are planning to do an Advent retreat here on the show. You know, Advent's a crazy time. I've got a couple of parish missions that I'm going to be heading off and leading around the country during Advent. But I want to make sure that we can do an Advent retreat on this program. It's hard to leave our home sometimes. It's hard to take a break from the shopping, because that's what happens. We become consumed by the Christmas season. Unfortunately, we do lose sight of the fact that this is all about the birth of the Lord. Giving presents is a nice thing, but you know, when it starts to overtake us and take away our peace, that's a problem. That's what happened with Martha and the story of Martha and Mary, and that's what can easily happen to us if we're not careful. But that being said, it's still a tough time. We've got parties, we've got preparations, we've got things to do during the Advent season. So I want to make sure that we can do an Advent retreat on the show here so you can listen to it at your leisure. Whenever you're going in the car, if you're walking, you put your headphones in. I want to make it easy for you. I'll let you know in the next few weeks what we'll be doing for the Advent retreat here. And I really hope you'll be able to join me. And then, of course, next year, We'll do a Lenten mission as well, or a Lenten retreat, whatever you want to call it, on the program. So I hope you'll be able to join me for that. And then, you know, it's my intention to once again next year do total consecration to Jesus through Mary, or to renew your total consecration to Jesus through Mary. That's going to be happening in September of next year, God willing. So got lots of good plans. Thank you for your support, both financial and for your prayer support. You're the reason that I'm able to do what I do. And I'm thankful for your help and your support. Let's see. Do we have any news? No, I guess we don't have any news. Today is Thursday. It is the feast of St. John Paul II. He is a big devotee of the Blessed Mother. He was absolutely recognized for his Marian devotion. So it's appropriate that we have today on the program a little discussion about the Blessed Mother. We do this every Thursday. I call Thursday Mother's Day here on the Gary Zimek Show, and I'm really glad to talk about her. Today we'll reflect on some of the ideas, the teachings of St. John Paul II on the Blessed Mother. But first we'll pray, then we'll look at the Mass readings, and then we'll get to that material. Ready to join me? Let's do it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for giving us another day to love you, to serve you, and to know you. We're very grateful, Father, for all the blessings that you've given to us in our lives. Please help us as we continue to walk on the road which will one day lead to eternal life with you in heaven. Help us keep on that road. It's very easy for us to get distracted and sidetracked, but we ask you to help keep our path straight so that we remain on the road which will lead to eternal life with you in heaven. Father, we ask you also to bless us and our family members, those around us, our coworkers, our friends, fellow students, whoever they may be. We ask you to help those who are sick, those who are lonely, those who are anxious, those who are struggling with doubt or despair, those who may be dealing with addiction, those who may be dealing with financial difficulty or religious persecution or an extreme weather situation, people with relationship problems. Father, we lift them all up to you and we ask you to bless them and to help them with all of their problems. I ask you to be with me on the program tonight. Please speak through me. I yield control to you, Father in heaven. I ask you to please do the speaking. And please open our minds and our hearts to be receptive to your message. And also we lift up our own personal needs, things that can distract us, things that can get in the way of our relationship with you. We give them to you now and we ask you to accept them and all of these intentions in the most holy and the most sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Blessed Mother Mary, please help us. On this day, we focus on you on the program. We thank you for your intercession. We thank you for leading us to Jesus. We ask you to continue to help us. And together we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of Peace, pray for us. Good Saint Joseph, pray for us. St. John Paul II, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Thanks for praying with me. I'm really glad to have you on the program today right here on Blog Talk Radio. I've got my beverage du jour today. Here we go. Boy, Gary, that sounds like another cup of coffee. I'm really into this coffee groove right now. I've got some other beverages waiting in the wings, but yeah, it's a cup of coffee again today. Today is Maxwell House Decaf. I haven't had this in a while. Good stuff. Not as good as my favorite, Mystic Monk, which, by the way, if you're looking for some great Christmas gifts, Mystic Monk Coffee is perfect for the coffee lover in your life. You can find out more about the great products of the Carmelite Monks located in Cody, Wyoming, by visiting their website. You can get to it from my website, followingthetruth.com. You see a Mystic Monk image there. Click on that. That's going to take you to their website, and you'll be able to get yourself some of the greatest coffee that you have ever had the pleasure of tasting. This is good stuff. They always have nice little candies, too. They have caramels, and I think they have some kind of mint-flavored chocolates. They got good stuff, these monks. They know what they're doing, and they love the Blessed Mother. So it's a great deal. Mystic Monk Coffee, available at followingthetruth.com. Let's talk about today's daily Mass readings. Now, by the way, if you have any questions about anything we talk about, Gary at followingthetruth.com is the place to get in touch with me via email. Today, we will be once again, for our first reading, looking at from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans, chapter 6, verses 19 to 23. I don't know about you, but I've really been enjoying these readings from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Some really good stuff that Paul has been sharing with us. Here we go. Brothers and sisters, I am speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your nature. For just as you presented the parts of your bodies as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness for lawlessness, so now present them as slaves to righteousness for sanctification. But for when you were slaves of sin, you were free from righteousness. But what profit did you get then from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now that you have been freed from sin and have become slaves of God, the benefit that you have leads to sanctification, and its end is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Boy, you know what? This is such a great message. This is one that we really should take a minute and ponder, because it's an incredibly special message for those of us who are Christians formally. And you know, here's the thing. Many of us have been baptized from a very early age, we're baptized at a very early age. So I've been a Christian, technically, all of my life. But I didn't live my life as a Christian should lead his life. I went to church every Sunday, but heck, the Pharisees obeyed the law of God. So was I any better than them? No, not at all. Because what I did was, even though I went to church every Sunday, I didn't live the rest of my life like a Christian should. And I don't tell you that because I'm proud of living a life that consisted of sin and lukewarmness. I'm not proud of that, but I think you need to know that. And I need to think about it too. Because all the time I wasted, and it was a lot of time, all the time I wasted serving myself, serving Satan, even though it was indirectly. Every time you sin, you say you serve Satan. And all the time I refused to turn to the Lord, all that time, he was patient with me. And he waited for me. And he would call, he would knock, but he wouldn't force his way into my life. And I'm so grateful to him for being persistent. Because eventually, I'm a stubborn guy, eventually I heard the knock at the door, and I let him in. Now, we had a couple of ups and downs, because the thing about conversion is, you know, conversion is growing closer to the Lord. It's turning away from sin, growing closer to him. The thing about conversion is, it's an ongoing experience. It's not a one-and-done proposition. You don't convert once in your life and then that's it. Every day, we should be going through some sort of a conversion. In other words, we should be somehow growing closer to the Lord each day. That's what we want to do for the rest of our life. But this process took a number of years, and it's still ongoing, but I would grow close to him, then I'd back off. Two steps forward, one step back. Two steps back, one step forward. You know, and it just went like this for many years. And he was patient with me, and I'm very grateful for his patience. Because I'll tell you, having a relationship with Jesus Christ, having a personal friendship with someone as loving and as merciful and as consistent as Christ is a beautiful experience. And I say consistent because he don't change. You can always count on him. I've been let down by people. I'm sure you've been let down by people. Things just haven't worked out the way I planned throughout my life. But with the Lord, you know he's consistent. You know he's not going to say one thing and do something else. You know he's never going to tell you he's too busy to talk. You know he's never going to treat you unfairly. We might think he's treating us unfairly, but he's not. He loves us. And if you spend enough time meditating on the Gospels, if you spend enough time in his real presence, in the Blessed Sacrament, if you spend enough time in prayer, you will eventually realize that he only will allow to happen in your life what is good for you, even if you might not, it might not feel like it at the time. So it's a wonderful thing to have this personal relationship with Christ. And I remember back in the day, and again, I'm chatting about this first reading, which talks about being a slave to sin. I remember back in the day when I would have these certain habitual sins in my life. And I knew they were wrong. In the back of my mind, I knew that they were wrong. But I was weak, and I couldn't resist. So time after time after time, I would fall into the same sins. And at the moment I indulged, there was pleasure. But after that, there was a lot of guilt. That guilt was hard to live with at times. And it was particularly hard when I would go to church, which I kept going to church. But I would feel that guilt there. I'd feel that little bit of a sick feeling, like, something's not right here. And then I'd try to not think about it. But eventually, after many years, I was able to address these problems in my life, and with the help of the Lord, I mean really with the help of the Lord, I have been able to overcome temporarily, and remember, I'm not saying overcome for the entire rest of my life, but overcome one incident at a time these habitual sins that I would fall into numerous times. But that's all through God's grace. So just continue to walk with him. If you mess up, that's what the sacrament of confession is there for. Make sure you take advantage of that great sacrament. You do not want to be enslaved to sin. You might think you're free when you're able to commit any sin you want, but that's not it at all. You are enslaved. You're a slave to sin. Let's break free from that sin and have true freedom through a relationship with Jesus Christ. The psalm today, Psalm 1, blessed are they who hope in the Lord. Blessed the man who follows not the counsel of the wicked, nor walks in the way of sinners, nor sits in the company of the insolent, but delights in the law of the Lord and meditates on his law day and night. He is like a tree planted near running water that yields its fruit in due season, and whose leaves never fade. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked, not so. They are like the chaff which the wind drives away. For the Lord watches over the way of the just, but the way of the wicked vanishes. Now this psalm ties in beautifully with the first reading. Sin is a dead end. So living a life of instant gratification and sinful pleasure is going to be a very short piece of enjoyment for you. It doesn't last long. Eventually, living a life where you're seeking comfort through sinful pleasures is not going to go anywhere. So please keep that in mind. It's a really, really important concept to get a hold of. And sometimes you just have to look past the craziness, the temptations of this life, and realize that these momentary pleasures that involve sin, they're just not worth it because they're not going to last. I want lasting peace. I want lasting joy. I want lasting comfort. And through a relationship with Christ, that's what we can get. Let's look at today's gospel, which is from the gospel, once again, of Luke. Let me turn the page and find this here. Luke chapter 12, verses 49 through 53. Now, this is one of those gospels. When I read it, this is going to blow you away. You've heard it before. You're confused about it, I'm sure. This is a example of our Lord at his finest. He wants to get our attention, and he really does with the way he speaks. Luke 12, verses 49 through 53, Jesus said to his disciples, I have come to set the earth on fire, and how I wish it were already blazing. There is a baptism with which I must be baptized, and how great is my anguish until it is accomplished. Do you think that I have come to establish peace on the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, a household of five will be divided, three against two and two against three. A father will be divided against his son and a son against his father. A mother against her daughter and a daughter against her mother. A mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Boy, I'll tell you what. That doesn't make any sense, right? What's all this talk about division? I thought Jesus came to bring peace. Now, you remember we have talked before that Jesus used hyperbole a lot, which is exaggeration. This is an example of it, but you know what? It really isn't that much of an exaggeration. The first message from this gospel is that Jesus realizes that he has a mission. He came to suffer, die, and rise from the dead. That was his mission. He was anguished until that mission was accomplished. Why? Because humankind had not yet been redeemed. Jesus had to accomplish his mission, even though it involved suffering. That shows you an example of someone who wants to do God's will at all cost. That's an objective for us. On the other hand, we tend to like to seek comfort. I mean, that's human nature. That's what we do. And if God's will takes us too much out of our comfort zone, we generally don't like it. But Jesus gives a great example of what it means to be fully human and to desire to do God's will at all costs. As far as the peace goes, what the Lord is saying, and you know this is true, is that being a follower of Christ will bring about division. There will be a point in time that you will lose friends. You will possibly alienate some of your family members. And you're going to have to make a choice. Do I follow Christ or do I follow another human being? Now, for the most part, with family, if you have a good relationship with your family, this is not going to be an issue. When it becomes an issue is if someone in your family comes between you and the Lord. For example, your husband doesn't feel it's important to go to church on Sunday. And he doesn't want you to go to church on Sunday because he would rather take you away for a nice vacation, have a relaxing breakfast with the kids, or whatever the reason is. That's a problem. You can't let that happen. Because a human being is coming between you and Christ. A decision on using birth control is another example. And these things happen. It might be happening to you. It's not an easy situation. I'm very grateful that my wife and I have always been on the same page with our faith. And we were careful when we got married. But I realize that's not the case with everybody. Some people have a conversion while they're in the midst of a marriage. I had my conversion while I was married, but again, my wife is so wonderful that she was understanding. She always had a good faith. And then maybe I caught up to her a little bit, and she was happy. When a spouse surpasses the other one in terms of faith, sometimes that can be a challenge. But what I want you to remember is always keep in close contact with the Lord. And ask for his help during those situations. He gets it. He understands it. And also be patient. Be patient with your family members. Be patient with your friends. Be patient with those who might not understand your love of Christ. Because we're all at a different place spiritually. If you have questions, let me know, Gary, at followingthetruth.com. Just let me share a couple of thoughts. I have a book here. John Paul II's Book of Mary, compiled by Margaret Bunsen. It's a book by our Sunday visitor. Let's read a couple of these meditations. It's broken into chapters, and since this is John Paul II's feast day, St. John Paul II's feast day to be more appropriate, And it is Mother's Day here on the program. I thought it would be appropriate, and we'll read more of these in the weeks to come, to share some of these Marian reflections taken from the writings and the talks, the homilies of St. John Paul II. This is from an audience in Rome, November 28, 1980. The Second Vatican Council emphasizes in the last chapter of the Dogmatic Constitution on the Church that in her life, the Virgin has been a model of motherly love with which all who join in the Church's apostolic mission for the regeneration of mankind should be animated. And this is from Lumen Gentium, which is the major document of the Second Vatican Council. The whole last section of that document is about the Blessed Mother. And, you know, if you can read this, you'd be surprised that some of these Vatican II documents are not nearly as difficult to understand as you might think. They're all online. You can find them online. There are books that have them. So you can either find them at the Vatican website or there are books with the documents. I recommend you read some of them because I think there is a great deal of misunderstanding about Vatican II. We should really understand what this church council was all about. Okay, how about this one? This is from an address in Rome, once again in 1980. As Paul the Apostle says, we know, and incidentally, Paul was considered to be an apostle, even though he wasn't one of the original 12. He was called directly by Jesus on the road to Damascus, and he refers to himself as an apostle. As Paul the Apostle says, we know that our home is in heaven, where we also await our Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior, who will change our vile body that it may be fashioned like his magnificent body. Holy Mary has already reached her heavenly home, and after exile on earth gained entrance immediately to glory. So, let your sufferings, your anxieties, your hopes be directed toward her, that her help in joining her after this exile on earth will not fail. With this wish, I bless you all from the bottom of my heart. Now, there is a reminder from St. John Paul II to cast our anxieties on Mary, to let her take our problems to Jesus. That's something we need to remember. Here's something else. When at the moment of the Annunciation, Mary utters her fiat, let it be done to me according to your word, she conceives in a virginal way a man, the Son of Man, who is the Son of God. By means of this humanization of the word Son, the self-communication of God reaches its definitive fullness in the history of creation and salvation. This fullness acquires a special wealth and expression in the text of John's Gospel, the Word became flesh. The incarnation of God the Son signifies the taking up into unity with God not only of human nature, but in this human nature in a sense of everything that is flesh, the whole of humanity, the entire visible and material world, the incarnation, then also has cosmic significance, a cosmic dimension, the firstborn of all creation, becoming incarnate in the individual humanity of Christ, unites himself in some way with the entire reality of man, which is also flesh, and in this reality with all flesh, with the whole of creation. Let's see what we have here. Here's another one from an address in Rome, 1979. Beloved, look at the ideal represented by the figure of the Good Shepherd, an ideal of light, life, and love, and at the same time consider that our time needs to refer to such ideals. If Christ's eye dwells on you with predilection, if he chooses you, if he calls you to be his collaborators, do not hesitate for a moment, following the example of the Most Holy Virgin to the angel, to say your generous yes. You will not regret it. Your joy will be true and full, and your life will appear rich in fruits and in merits, because you will become with him and for him, messengers of peace, agents of good, collaborators with God in the salvation of the world. So St. John Paul II reminds us to take a page out of Mary's book and say yes to anything that God asks of you. And I can assure you, you will not regret it. I'm out of time today. Thanks for stopping by. Tomorrow we'll look at, God willing, we'll look at the hidden power of kindness as well as Sunday's Mass readings. If you can, please stop by. I'd love to hear from you. In the meantime, know that you'll be in my prayers. Have a wonderful night, and God bless you.